Your little addition to your full size, full strength version of eavesdropping.
It's true. It's true. With your hosts, Geordie and Michelle. I'm Michelle.
I'm the nice one, Geordie.
And look, I just had so much to talk about. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
The usual state of affairs, really, isn't it, Michelle? Always got something to say.
Too much to say. But obviously, lights in the sky, it brought up a lot, you know?
I think we're going to have to revisit this again and again and again, because people are going to want to tell us their own stories. And we haven't heard from any of our loyal listeners. Where were you?
Well, do you know what? A few of them did say they've got some stories. Didn't get back to us in time. So
snooze, you lose.
So, just quickly, do we have any apologies?
Well, no, because the episode that we're recording for hasn't been out yet.
No, well, the thing is, I have one small apology to make on your behalf.
Oh, thank
because
you. What have I done wrong?
I actually went and watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, and Terry Garr his wife.
She was his wife, yes. Not the mother of the little boy. So
I knew that while I was saying it, I knew it. But I couldn't remember the other actress's name. So did you enjoy watching Close Encounters?
Well, do you know, I actually made Andreas watch it with me.
And?
He was not into it.
Oh, for...
I said to him, I said, do you know who Steven Spielberg is? No.
What?
Yeah, I said, he's only the most famous director on the planet. And he said, no. I said, E.T.? He was like, oh, yeah, I saw that. But anyway, so I said, listen, it's a blockbuster. You've got to watch it. So we sat down, watched it together. Do you know what? It's really slow. It's that 70s slow filmmaking kind of thing. And to be fair, Steven Spielberg, if you're listening.
Or Steve to you. Yeah.
Steve S. If you're listening, you could trim about half an hour out of that film with a bit more snazzy editing. But just, you know,
Michelle,
just
that's
saying,
a classic. I can't believe you're saying that.
Yeah, but you watch it again. You can see he can like chop to get some action
it
going
is
quicker.
Such an incredible film. And
well,
yes. I think it might be in the Hall of Fame or something for being the bestest film of all time or something.
Do you know what? It was brilliant. I really loved it. But that's because I also have a bit of history of knowing that I love it.
Because your parents made mashed potato mountains for you. Freaked you all out.
And you were right. They were crying in that scene. All the kids are like, Daddy's losing his shit.
Yeah.
Daddy's having a breakdown. Well, I'm just going to stick on Stephen.
Yeah.
Spearly for a moment. So look, when I was doing some digging into... I had a look, Googling, into Spielberg and this film. And so he partly based the plot on the findings of this kind of, I think I said before, he's the godfather of American ufology, Dr. J. Allen Hynek. So he's a really interesting guy. He was an American astronomer. He was a professor. And he ended up being the scientific advisor to this thing called Project Blue Book, which...
There's a telly show about that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Where? Who?
It was on Sky or something, and it had Aidan Gillen, the Irish actor, in it.
Ooh, handsome.
I started watching. You're like, you fancy him.
Oh, no. I think I'm thinking of a different one, not Aidan Gillen. Sorry. He's the weird-looking one. Anyway, sorry, Aidan.
I don't know if he's weird looking, but maybe anyway. Aidan would like to get in touch with some of his own stories about how how weird looking he's not.
Okay, sorry, Aids. Aiden.
Bloody
not Aidan.
Hell, Michelle, you're very familiar today.
I haven't even had any champagne. Anyway, so Project Blue Book. It was the code name for an Air Force program, American like. Air Force program set up in 1952, and it was set up in response to the fact that they'd received loads of UFO sightings, and they were all reported during the Cold War era. So the Air Force set up this Project Blue Book to basically investigate and to either like toss them out as rubbish, or you know, look at whether the sightings were weather anomalies or stars or Russian threats, which, you know, was a really big
Yeah, it was all the rage. And that goes back to what you said last episode. Why were there so many of these things happening in the 70s?
Yeah.
Well, it was the Cold War.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So this was all Project Blue Book, set up in the early 50s because obviously Cold War threats, yes. Whatever. Apparently, when they were looking into Project Blue Book.
70s was right before the end of the Cold War. Sorry. Yes. Just correcting myself there.
Okay. So in Project Blue Book, 13% of the study's findings couldn't be explained using science. So they have been put down as UFOs,
mm-hmm.
which that's not nothing. 13% is quite a lot.
Yeah.
And then, so I looked into the title, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So,
you
and
got
this
the first
not,
kind, you got your second kind.
And then you got your third kind.
That's right.
And it's not really explained in the movie what they are. So, and it was based on this guy, J. Allen Hynek's Dr. J. It was based on his own classification system. So, a close encounter of the first kind, I can't even talk, is when you see a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
The second kind is physical evidence to prove the existence mm-hmm. of it. So, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, do you remember he had sunburn on his face?
Yeah, because he had lights above him. He had the UFO was above him, very much like Travis Walton and his mates, and also Fort Benning, when they had the lights above.
Well, the sunburn was actual physical evidence to prove.
Oh, I see. That's a second kind.
Yes, yes, that's right. And then the third kind is actual contact with yes. alien life forms, which
where
if
E.T.
you
touches
know this,
his little light lit up finger on Elliot's finger. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, it's this whole movie was really like owes a lot to Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
And Spielberg's interest in what's out there as well.
And maybe, you know, like you said in the last episode, maybe he was touched, but not literally touched by an alien. But he could have been touched by an alien.
Well, there are people who theorise that he was. And it's been a long time. We're waiting for a big reveal. We haven't had it yet. I doubt that we're going to have one. I think he's just genuinely interested.
Or it could be deathbed reveal. Who knows? We may have to wait some time.
Well,
but yeah, who knows?
We'll ask him.
Steve, get in touch.
There is a documentary, though, that counteracts all of that. And
of
it's
course.
Called Mirage Men. And it came out in 2013. And it is about how the US government used mythology to cover up their advanced technology. And it kind of feeds into what Project Blue Book was all about, you know, trying to find out, investigate all these things. But so you've got a real life man in black. The movie version, not the version that you and I have been discussing recently, which were those kind of weird
faces.
Which
was Spielberg.
Yeah, Spielberg did the movie version,
Spielberg.
Which has got Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. Those guys who work for the government or wherever they work for, they've got all the equipment because obviously we've had a relationship with aliens forever and they're trying to make people forget. That's mm-hmm. the mythologized version, right? But this guy's a man in black. That kind of version. He works for the AFOSI, which stands for United States Air Force Office of Special Investigation.
Okay.
So they were running. What happened was they had this guy, Richard Dotty, who was a special agent.
Who might have been a bit dotty. Who knows?
He might have been a bit dotty, but he actually revealed that he was told to deliberately feed lies and half-truths to ufologists to lead them to believe that the government was covering up information about alien visitations in order to hide high-level tech from the Russians. So basically, it was all invented. What they're trying to say in this Mirage Men documentary, I didn't watch it, was that it was all invented by the government, like fed, drip-fed into the public's consciousness in order to make them believe so that they would get off the scent of what was really going on. So they were developing their F-1 bombers, they were developing their Scuds, whatever they were developing at the time. And at the center of that hoax was something which Dotty said he had nothing to do with at all. It was a project called Project Serpo, which claimed that 12 American military personnel paid a secret visit to an alien planet in the Zeta Reticuli system. That could be a pizza that Hillary Clinton was offering at her. What was the name
Comet,
of her?
Comet Ping Pong Pizza. Literally Comet.
Hello, Comet. Comet Ping Pong. Would you like a Zeta Reticuli?
But you know what? Comet.
Yes.
Outer space.
Magical thinking.
Wow. Okay.
Remember?
Do you know what? Look, this... it's a possibility. Yeah. It really is. But again, well, it's a bit like the QAnoners. You can have a conspiracy theory about anything. You can come up with deep fake news. You can join the dots in whatever way you want.
I believe that's called cognitive dissonance, where you are so embedded in something that you believe. But when you're presented with the information that shows that it's not true, your mind can't cope. Ah, so you make up all this crazy shit in order to justify your beliefs.
Yeah, but you know what? This reminds me of when I was watching, oh God, it was one of those terrible daytime TV things where they were revealing to this guy that he'd basically been catfished by this woman.
Right.
Which was basically an organization who had cheated him out of millions. And his family had got in touch with this TV show and said, listen, you've got to show my dad that it's that he's been played. And he's given all of these millions to this woman who's never getting on a plane, doesn't exist, who's not coming to visit him.
So they showed
him all the evidence. They said, listen, your emails have been answered by a dude in Panama who then has flipped it over to some other dude here. It's not even a woman replying to your messages. He didn't believe it. He could not believe it. And literally 2 days later, the lady who's been promising him, oh, I'm going to come and visit you, blah, blah, blah.
We'll live turns up?
Together. No, she asks for more money and he sends it. I know. Cognitive dissonance. Anyway.
But going back to these leaked papers about the project, what was it, Serpo, which was so outlandish that it was a dead giveaway because it was basically a reinvention of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, scene by scene.
Yes, because that's what they do when they say, what's everyone going to believe to get, what do we have to do to get everybody out of the area?
Yeah.
And then do you remember they had all those shocking scenes of the dead animals on the side of the road?
But
they didn't kill the animals. They just put sleep gas.
Uh-huh.
So the animals dropped down.
I don't remember that. But I do. I did read something in this summary of the Mirage Men where Dottie was working. What was it called again? This AFOSI actually went as far as to experiment on livestock, and then people would find mutilated livestock. That was another thing that was happening around that time. They were worried that the aliens were experimenting on livestock. It was the humans. They were experimenting with radiation on them.
So
that was just suggested in there. But basically, because of the similarity to Close Encounters, that led conspiracy theorists to suggest that Hollywood's depiction of visitors from outer space are either a fallback for those who claim to have been abducted. For example, you've got your Betty and what's his name? Betty and Barney. I don't know if that's right, but there was this famous couple from the United States back in the, I think it was the 50s or 60s, who claimed to have been abducted and had experiments done on them. When that happens, you can just say, oh, well, you've been watching too many science fiction films. You've seen that film. That's what that's from, you know. So either it's a fallback for that or that the Hollywood filmmakers are actually a part of it. They're in on it and they're slowly introducing people to the shocking truth with these films.
Okay.
And it was claimed that the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, do you know that film? It was remade with Keanu. I wouldn't bother with that version. The first one was a message. It was a message to people to look after your Earth. Don't mess it up because you're heading down the wrong road. We're peaceful aliens and we have a great time and all you've done is shoot at us. So basically that was claimed that the original film was a government sanctioned movie to test how the public would react to such a scenario. I think there's more to it than that. I think it's probably just a film with a message, you know.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, you know, if they wanted to know how people react, they could have just looked at what happened with War of the Worlds on the radio. You know,
yeah,
do you remember
that's a good
this?
Point. Yes, yeah. Of course. Orson Welles.
People flipped out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But what remains is so that there have been a lot of declassified papers on UFO sightings. There used to be a UK UFO sighting desk, but that closed down in 2009. Even though at the moment,
that's not that long ago.
No, I know. Well, basically, all the UFO conventions are dwindling now. And a lot
of,
yeah, so basically, is that the word that you say a lot?
apparently.
So what I'm trying to say is people are losing interest in UFOs, despite the fact that during lockdown and with the COVID pandemic, people are seeing a lot more things in the sky.
Well, they've got more time to look up.
They've got more time to look up, exactly. And I did mention at the end of last week's last episode, not last week's, but the last episode, elves and sprites.
Okay, yeah, you know my favourite.
Well, they're not real elves.
No.
The elves are a cousin to the sprite. The sprite is actually a very large thunderstorm that can produce a sudden reddish glow stretching for tens to hundreds of kilojoules, I'm going to call them, but they're kilometres. It looks like a straggling tendril of a jellyfish, and they're known as sprites, and they're really intense and they're rare. But I don't think any of the stories that we covered had anything that looked or sounded like that at all, really, right?
No.
But then there's the cousin of the sprite, the elves, which stands for, brace yourself, Michelle, emissions of light and very low frequency perturbations due to electromagnetic pulse sources.
Fucking hell.
They can appear about 80 to 100 kilometers above the ground, and they look really different. Basically, they are basically, oh my God, what they are, it's not even basic. It is what it is. They are expanding rings of light that look like a donut from space with a dark hole in the middle, and they spread out for about 1,000 kilometers. Have you ever seen anything like that or heard of that?
No.
They're fleeting, and they last only for less than a millisecond. But then there was also, I tried to tell you.
But can you, I don't think your eyes could even see that. You'd have to have.
Well, somebody's seen it.
But maybe through telescopes or. You know.
Possibly, yes, because it's so far away. Or maybe on the ground it looks like a flashing light. But the lights that we've heard about that we covered last time were more static, silent, closer.
Yep.
And of course, yep. Richard Dreyfuss got himself a terrible sunburn from it as well.
Well, he did. So,
it could be ball lightning. The other thing I said was ball lightning, which I didn't have the information about at the time, but researchers have only just really discovered them. It's when an ordinary bolt lightning goes from mm-hmm. cloud to ground, vaporizes some minerals in the soil, and then that can produce a big ball of light, which is about 5 meters across, and it can burn white and then red for a few seconds before vanishing. So again, it's fleeting. So
yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't think it's anything.
That's not what our peeps have seen.
No.
I don't. And it's not what I saw.
But saying that, you know, there are a lot of very, very highly trained, high strength, what do you call them? Telescopes trained at the skies. So if you saw something, Michelle, chances are the astronomers, Brian Cox, they've all seen it themselves. And if it's something to worry about, then obviously the machinations go in behind the scenes or whatever.
Yeah, but they didn't see it land in the snow like I did.
Land in the snow? Did you actually say that?
There were lights in the snow.
Oh, I thought it
the
was...
The snow was glowing.
I thought you were saying that it was a shadow of the glow. Do you know what I mean? Like a transference of light.
No, the snow was fucking glowing. The snow was aglow.
But I felt like that was like a beam of light from the sky to the snow. I didn't realize you saw it land.
Well, I didn't see it land. There was something landed.
Oh, flip.
Yeah. And the lights in the sky that I've seen, yeah, your face. My God.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I didn't explain that very well. No.
Maybe I wasn't listening, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks. You bitch.
I was listening, I was.
So, oh gosh, well, that's all very interesting.
Yeah.
Have you got any more? Or
just a little. It just said the at the end of it, it said there is documents, like government documents out there that say that the Mirage men are still out there sowing deception and disinformation, which is interesting given light of what's been happening these days. They are more likely to be targeting suspect extremist religious groups, hackers, or online fraudsters than UFO things. Or could it just be a smokescreen to put people off the scent?
Well, this is a theory. Who knows?
Ah.
But I'm going to tell you a little UFO cold case, which you can tell me what your theory is.
All right.
On this.
Yes, because I'm the expert.
Yes, you are. What is it? Scully? Mulder? I don't know.
I'm Scully, you're Mulder.
All right. So I've got a few cases here, all Australian, actually.
Ooh.
This is a UFO cold case. It is the case of Frederick Valentich. I don't know if that's how you really say his name. It could be Valentich, but anyway.
Valentich.
We'll just call him Frederick. So this happened on the evening of the 21st of October, 1978. Again, 70s. late 70s, right? And this happened in Victoria. So Frederick was a pilot, but I've read some online stuff about him and turns out he's not a very good pilot. But anyway, that's by the by. So Frederick was a pilot.
I think I've heard this one. This is already ringing a bell.
Oh, there you go. So you might have some info.
Maybe. Doubt it.
He was 20 at the time and he rented a single engine Cessna small aircraft. And look, some reports say that he was going on a training flight. Others say he was going to King Island to pick up some mates and a bit of seafood. So I don't
party.
Know.
Party time.
Party.
Oysters and brown lemonades.
So either way, he flew the plane out of Moorabbin Airport in Victoria. This was just before 7 o'clock at night. At some point during the flight, and this was somewhere over the Bass Strait, he radioed Melbourne's air traffic control, and this was at 7:06 at night, for support because he said he was being followed by an unidentified aircraft about 300 metres above him. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're flying, that's fucking close, right? And then he then apparently stated, it's not an aircraft. So he then said he was having engine troubles. And look, there are records of the conversation between him and air traffic control, which, I mean, I don't know if they're accurate or not. But apparently he said there seemed to be this larger aircraft that was playing some kind of game with him because it had flown over his plane two or three times. And he couldn't identify the speed that this plane was, but I think it was fucking fast. And then he said what he saw was a long metallic object with green lights. And then when he was telling air traffic control about this, his transmission was interrupted by these weird noises, which have been documented as being metallic scraping sounds. And then all contact was lost with Frederick. Then the plane with Fred in it was never seen again.
Yes, gone. I have heard that. Yeah.
Fucking scary.
It's quite chilling, isn't it?
Really chilling.
Yeah.
So look, there are a couple of theories. The sensible theory is that he was flying upside down because he'd become disoriented. And that what he saw were his own lights reflected in the water.
Yeah, could be.
They're sort of disputing claims against
then
that.
Then he landed in the water and disappeared.
Well, they dredged and they couldn't find anything. And
what did they dredge? Where was he? Was he over the
ocean?
Over
the Bass Strait. He was over the Bass Strait.
It's a pretty massive bit of water that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but they could identify where he was flying at the time. Okay. So they had sort of a...
But Michelle, they never found those... They never found that a huge jumbo jet. Two. Isn't there two Singapore Airlines jets that
really?
Went missing? Yeah, they never found them.
Can we do something on that?
Yeah.
I'd love to investigate that. No, because that just reminds me of Castaway. They never found Tom Hanks.
Didn't they?
No.
I've not seen the film, Michelle. Spoiler.
Oh, well, it's not a spoiler. You wait and see. Anyway, when people are disputing this theory that he flew upside down, they said the Cessna, the model he was piloting, couldn't have flown for that long upside down because it would have cut out immediately. So he wouldn't even have been able to say... Oh, I've seen lights. He wouldn't have been able to radio. There wouldn't have been enough time. But obviously, you know, people who believe in UFOs say that, you know, he was abducted and then they took his aircraft and there have also apparently been other reports that people in Victoria had seen weird lights in the sky that
day. At the same time. Okay.
But they were green lights. So
what colour were his? They were green.
Actually, no, he did say he saw a long metallic object with green lights.
Yeah.
So
I was listening.
There you go. So that is a cold case because I can't make head nor tail
of
that one.
Head nor tail. Oh, my goodness. What's the other one?
So there is another one. It's called Westall. This is a famous sighting that happened in 1966. So maybe still Cold War
era
here.
Because it was
still
going on and the Russians were, you know, still the West perceived them to be a threat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a this has a little darker side to it as well.
And there's the space race and all that.
This is quite a famous one. It happened in 1966. There were around 200 kids who went to this high school called Westall, which is a suburb in Clayton, south in Victoria, which is about 20k outside of Melbourne. And what I think is really interesting is that pretty much all of these 200 kids say they saw the same thing.
Skylab!
So, yeah.
Do you remember that?
No.
In the 70s, Skylab was falling. It was falling and it was going to land in Australia. It had been predicted to land in Australia. All of us were doing drills to get under our desks. And
oh
every
my
time
God.
Something happened, this is when I was about
what,
in year Bateman three.
Bay?
Yeah. It landed in the backyard, in a massive backyard somewhere in Western Australia.
Oh,
and I heard reports of a little boy playing with a bit of it because it broke up as it came into the atmosphere.
Okay.
But it could have landed on your head and killed you. It could have been a big lump of really fast flying, you know, lab.
From the sky.
From the sky
lab.
Exactly. So anytime something happened, like we heard in a helicopter or anything, we'd have to go under the desks. Well,
sky
we would
lab.
Just scream, Skylab, and run under the desks. The fear was real.
I don't remember. The fear was real. Well, this was something else before Skylab's time. So this happened around 11 o'clock in the morning. A group of students, they'd just been doing like sports outside on the oval, and a few of them saw this large silver saucer-shaped object floating through the sky. I think floating is an interesting word here. Anyway.
I don't like that.
Yeah. So these kids got really excited and ran back to school going,
Skylab!
It's a UFO! And so more kids ran out of the school, all out of their classrooms, to look at this flying saucer, and they all saw it making
Where
its way.
Where is this? Where's Westall?
So this is just about 20k outside of Melbourne.
Okay.
Yep. So more kids ran out. They kind of saw it, like all of them. And then it eventually disappeared behind a row of pine trees and landed in a nearby paddock.
It landed. People went and saw it. No?
Yeah. So then around 20 minutes later, I'm not sure if they saw it. They
it
knew
land.
It landed. They must have seen it land. Because then 20 minutes later, it rose above the trees again and then rapidly shot off to the northwest. So this is what I find really interesting is that it rapidly shot off. Right?
Yeah.
Remember that. So some kids say the UFO was pursued by a couple of Cessna planes. Cessnas again. But not everyone agrees on that part of the story. So then the kids hung around hoping the UFO would come back. But what happened instead is that the military and the police turned up. And they got all the kids into an assembly and basically told them they were forbidden to ever speak of what they'd seen. Yep.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And the school principal was told to issue a statement attributing the whole thing to mass hysteria.
Magic mushrooms.
Yeah, fucking scary, right?
Oh, God.
So then this has become part of like Australia's sort of UFO history.
Well, I've never heard that one, Michelle. That's a shocker.
Well, then a few years ago, there were a few articles that turned up where people had been digging through like government documents that were mm-hmm. previously unreleased.
Yeah.
And they found reference to a secret radiation testing program, which kind of points to a government cover up, right? So I don't know if it is connected, but this is one theory. So apparently federal and state government agencies refused to comment on the Westall incident at the time. But now they think that rather than a UFO, what landed was a high-altitude balloon that was used to monitor radiation levels after Maralinga.
Yeah, Maralinga was what I was going to say next. So like a dirigible. Do you remember? We used to see them a lot in the sky. Dirigible.
What's a dirigible?
It's one of those big balloons. What do you call them?
A balloon.
A balloon. That's what my nanny used to call a balloon.
A balloon.
Like an airship.
Oh, yes, I kind of...
What was that thing called, the one up in the sky that... What was that called? Why can't I remember that? The Hindenburg?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
And then they gave up on that idea after... That was a failed way of air travel.
It's not going to work, is it?
They made a big balloon out of paper and hot air and flames and it didn't work.
And wondered why it didn't quite
Sorry,
work.
I shouldn't laugh. It's terrible.
No,
it's
it is terrible. There are some reports that suggest that what these kids saw basically was connected to Maranga nuclear tests. And that's why the government and the military turned up. But this doesn't add up with what the kids saw, that the fact that the UFO took off at rapid speed.
Rapid speed, yeah, that balloon can't go fast.
Because balloons don't do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But anyway, back in 2011, there's a guy called Shane Ryan, who's actually a school teacher in Canberra. He made a documentary called Westall 66, Suburban UFO Mystery, where he uncovered evidence that there were seven pilots who chased the UFOs, one of whom is apparently still alive and in a nursing home. So I don't know if Shane actually managed to like get to him and talk to him about his recollections, but he says that this guy Shane spent years investigating the Westall incident, and he thinks that instead of the government trying to cover up some kind of nuclear testing, he thinks the government's trying to cover up the fact that they don't have any answers for what those kids saw.
They don't want to look any more clueless than they already do.
Yes. So I think that the Westall is really scary. And then I have one more story.
Okay. And this is obviously one that's going to blow my socks off.
I fucking blew my socks off. My little...
Go on then.
Little tiny socks.
Little size twos.
This weird event happened on the 19th of January in 1988.
Well, that's today.
88.
Yeah, but it's the 19th of January today.
Oh my God.
Did you think I'd lost my mind for a second,
Michelle? I thought.
Hey, I'm a teenager again. Woo!
19th of January. Fuck. Yeah. You know we're going to get visited tonight.
Oh, don't say that, Michelle. You know I have a hard time sleeping when I know there's aliens out there.
There's going to be a visitation.
Don't!
Do-do-do-do. Anyway.
Oh, you little bitch.
So this happened to the Knowles family.
Not the Nolan sisters.
Can you even remember one single song that they sang? No.
I can.
I don't. I can't. All right, you hold that thought.
Yeah.
So the Knowles family, this happened.
I'm in the mood for dancing, romancing.
Is that
you know I never, but do it. Yeah, that's it.
Fantastic.
Sorry, you carry on.
This was not the Nolan sisters. This was the Knowles family with a K, Knowles.
Yeah.
And this all happened near a tiny outpost called Mundrabilla in the Nullarbor Plains in South Australia.
Don't live in the middle of Australia. Just don't.
Well, do you know what they weren't? Do you know what they weren't? They weren't. So so Faye Knowles, the mum, she was driving through the Nullarbor from Perth to Melbourne with her three sons. When they... all of them saw mysterious lights in the distance ahead of them. One report says that a large glowing object, like a big ball, basically chased Faye and her sons. And they were adult sons. Their names are Patrick, Wayne and Sean. So they're not kids who are just like, oh, we saw a UFO. These are like grown dudes. So anyway, this massive glowing ball chased them down the highway before this fucking UFO landed on their roof, pulled them into the air.
Oh, God.
And so Faye
they were
went,
all in the car. The whole car
they're
was lifted
all in
like
the
a
fucking
magnet.
Car. There was a beam of light.
Bloody
pulled
hell.
Them up into the beam, right? According to police reports, because Faye, who was freaked the fuck out by all of this, went to the police and reported what had happened.
Yeah. So what happened though? They were just lifted in the air and that was it.
Dropped back down again. So what happened was that Faye said this UFO tormented them for 90 minutes, right?
So an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was like chasing them and then stopping them and then it was on top of them. It like was pulled them up into the air.
Oh, God.
And yeah, so the UFO apparently picked the car up off the road, shook it violently forced the car back down on the ground with such pressure that one of the tires was blown and the car was filled with this weird, eerie grey mist and a really foul smell. Right.
Oh.
So in a state of shock, one of the sons, Sean, he put his foot down on the accelerator, just fucking floored it. And his mum was screaming. But according to reports from the police, Sean said their voices were distorted, like time was slowing down.
Oh.
And this is a direct quote from Faye.
I feel like I'm going to pass out from the horror.
Oh, man, it's so fucking scary. So Faye said in her report, I wound down the window and I felt this thing on the roof. All of this smoke stuff started coming into the car. The car was covered in black stuff. Mm. And she said, we thought we were dying. Then we got out of the car and we hid behind a little tree and the bushes so it couldn't find us. And the eldest son, Patrick, said it felt like his brain was being sucked out. And they all of them said that the car had been picked up and shaken by this fucking UFO, right?
Did they find the car?
Yeah, because, well, truckers apparently reported in the newspaper, yeah, mate, they weren't lying because they said the family was really, like, shaken.
So some truckers found them next morning or whatever.
Well, no, they actually went to this place called Seduna and went to the police station. And the police went out and looked at the car, and that's when they took the report seriously because of the state of the car.
Oh,
and
geez.
Yeah, apparently this story made headlines all around the world, and nobody can make sense of this story. Again, you know, it wasn't just like in the last episode, one lonely guy on a highway waiting near Lake George for some other truck or whatever to verify what he was seeing. This is four of them in the car.
Oh, so, God. I don't like that at all, Michelle. That's really
I don't like it.
No. Going to always be 100 stories like that, and then there's going to be either a really good explanation. I mean, I cannot find an explanation for that. And I'm sure no one ever did come up with an explanation. But you know Edward Snowden? You know the guy who was working for the CIA and he became a hacker? Or what did he do? He had access to all of the CIA's files and then he got done for whistleblowing and whatnot.
Yeah,
and now he's hiding out in Russia. But he's been giving lots of interviews. He has done, yeah. He's been talking. But he said that, I know you'd love to think that there are aliens, but I couldn't find any evidence in any of the files of extraterrestrial alien, any of that. He said that wasn't there. But he said chemtrails are also not real. And climate change is, and so was the moon landing.
I think the moon landing's bullshit.
Really? Yep. Oh, come on, Michelle, really?
No, really. I really do. I really, really do.
Why?
Because I don't believe that they were technologically advanced enough to put a man on the moon and get that man back alive. You know, Laika didn't make it when the Russians tried to put that dog up in space. And
the dog maybe didn't have the training required. Perhaps the dog wasn't able to push the right button.
Yeah, but it was all... Look, I really believe that the moon landing's a hoax. And
I don't.
I haven't done any research into this. I've never looked it up as a conspiracy theory. Maybe we should do extra droppings on that. But I really adamantly believe it's a hoax.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Well, didn't know that about me, did you?
I did not know that about you, Michelle. Magical thinking. There you go.
Ooh, yeah, I know. QAnon. Look, I could talk for hours, but I think that's enough for right now. We'll save it for the next extra dropping.
All right, then. Absolutely. It's nice to be able to get together and see you for another
extra dropping.
And I hope people can remember to join us weekly for the usual eavesdropping extravaganza.
See you then.
Eavesdropping.
Drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it.